Jesus Christ is God's son. Did you know that?
I don't know. Did they prove that yet? Or is that still...
They had that pigeon. White pigeon. Do you think that proves it?
Oh, the bird?
Yep.
We already lost one listener.
Was probably a very religious person.
Yeah.
Elephantitis. Oh my god, I have lesbian.
Oh, that's interesting. That it has something to do with the bird.
Art, where should I start?
Well, let's start at the beginning. I understand that you were born to a matchbook peddler.
Yeah.
And maybe you want to talk about growing up around a woman who sold matches.
I love your songs. Mm. Now let's listen to some of my music.
You were single. Your mother was a single mother, and she made... She made and sold matchbooks.
Yeah.
You might want to fill in the rest of the details.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I was always curious about the matches.
Yeah.
How do they work?
Exactly. And how does a match work and who figured that out?
That's why I studied physics. And first, the interesting thing is the smell a match makes when you light it.
It's a terrible smell.
Yeah, I actually liked it. So.
I'm sorry, he's probably unclean. Yeah.
And then I found out that it's not really important to know how a match works.
Right.
There are more important things that physics is not capable of finining out the truth behind this world.
I made a mistake and wore my underwear into the bathtub.
Do we get a caller there?
No, not yet. That was just reminding people to go ahead and call in any questions you might have.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's also physics.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So can you explain to me then, physically, when you're decapitated... Heaven forbid, should you be decapitated. Why do you die? If science...
You know, the interesting thing is you don't die right away.
What happens to you?
You can still see.
So how long does it take for you to die?
About 10 seconds, and then you're unconscious.
And
but you're still not dead.
Exactly.
So how long are you really alive?
As long as you have oxygen in your brain. Blood that contains oxygen. You're still conscious. So, must be funny feeling.
Oh, okay.
And then you just start to faint after a while, after about 10-15 seconds, and then you die. But you don't notice that. So, actually, that's a very humane way of killing, I think. I haven't experienced it myself.
That's interesting. You think it's humane to have your head cut off?
There are worse ways to die,
Definitely.
Women in prison.
So we have a caller.
No shit.
Hello? Welcome to Call with Questions. We can hear you.
You're totally
We're so happy to have you calling in. What's your name?
Well, my question really pertains to my name's Joyce.
Joyce, and where are you calling from, Joyce?
Fairfield.
Fairfield, and we have a German physicist with us tonight, Joyce. His name is Marcel Pushank. And he'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the physical sciences.
Well,
Go ahead.
I really had a question. question about the decapitation.
Yes.
What is the best way to decapitate someone if you're going to do it?
That's a great question. Dr. Pushank, maybe you would like to answer that?
I didn't really understand it.
The question was, what is the best way to decapitate someone if you are going to decapitate them?
The least pain on the neck?
Yes.
You use a sharp knife, and you have to move it very fast. Do a very quick stroke. Then the person won't even notice that he or she got decapitated.
Uh-huh. And would it be better to cut through the throat or through the spinal cord?
If you do it really quick, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. So the speed is the important thing.
Yeah.
Joyce, did that answer your question?
Well, no, I'm still a bit confused because decapitation involves complete removal of the head, and a knife would have to cut through the spine.
Yeah. I liked it when you said spine. Could you say that again?
Spine?
Spine, yeah.
And I'm wondering if there wouldn't be an easier way. I'm not so concerned about pain for the other person, but a faster, easier way for the person doing the decapitation.
I don't want to get distracted from the question here,
talk
but
to
I
your
was
doctor.
Wondering if maybe you could say the word spine again.
Lesbian.
Spine?
Yeah. It just sounds,
taco salad.
Sounds really good over the radio.
It does?
Yeah. Spine. So
yeah. Spine.
Maybe Dr. Pushank would like to say the word spine.
Spine?
Yeah. Spine. Joyce, you go ahead. Spine? Joyce?
Spine?
Yeah. Sounds good. So what was your question again?
Dr. Pushank's got going on here in getting through the spine.
This summer, forget what you know.
The spine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to be able to achieve a full decapitation that way?
So you're what you are suggesting is some kind of a scissor, like two blades, one from the front, one from the back.
Wire.
Well, a guillotine is one blade, and that's just going to cut through one side. But I do like the idea, or maybe I just like the word, but I think I actually like the idea of scissors, some kind of scissors. Dr. Pushank, what do you think of some kind of hydraulic scissors?
Would be a nice thing, but actually with the scissors, they don't produce a clean cut. It's more grinding action.
You've got
break
to
the spine.
Kidding me.
So, but to get around that, if you don't want it, if it seems too brutal to you, you could try to get in between the vertebrae, the cartilage, it's softer. It there.
I got
talk
it.
To your doctor.
Then you might be able to do it without the hydraulics.
Interesting. Yeah. Joyce, does that answer your question?
That completely answers my question. You really just need to know a little bit about the anatomy.
Joyce, we've got to let you go. We've got another call coming in here. Thank you for calling Call with
no
Questions.
Shit.
You're here with your host, Ronald Inroth. And Dr. Marcel Pushank from the Center for Integrated Physics Research in former Soviet Union, now lower Yugoslavia?
Mm. Yeah.
What's your question? Hello?
Hi.
Hello, caller. Do you have a question for Dr.?
Yeah, I have a question. I was having a bowl of soup today, and you know how the food is so hot in your mouth?
Right.
And then once you swallow it,
wow, I'm
you
really
don't
excited
really
to hear
feel
that.
The heat, you know, going through your throat and like underneath. to the stomach.
That's a great observation that you made. What was your name?
My name is Song.
Song, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Glendale.
Glendale, California.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Home of the Glendale Buccaneers. We're all big Buccaneers fans here.
Oh.
Yeah. So. So,
exactly.
Dr. Pushank, I think that's a very good question.
Yeah.
You eat the hot food.
Yeah, it's hot in your mouth.
It burns the crap out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You swallow it and you're okay.
Yeah, you don't feel it.
Yeah. Why does that
this
happen?
Summer,
I think it's because you don't have nerve endings in your throat.
Wow.
When it's really hot, you can feel how your lung starts to burn.
Right. Because you have nerve endings around your lungs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But none in your throat.
No.
Huh. So why do you... go ahead, Song.
It doesn't do any damage. What if I swallow something really, 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 really hot, like lava?
It does do damage.
Yeah.
You just don't feel it. If the damage is big enough, then you'll feel it. But then it's too late.
Tater tot casserole.
That's bad. Oh, yeah. Did that answer your question, Song?
That extends. I have one more question. Then when you have heartburn and you have pain, does that mean that you have nerve in your stomach?
The heartburn, actually, the feeling happens further up, more
that
in your
esophagus.
Yeah.
But the pain is not from your esophagus burning, or is it? The pain.
I think so.
It comes from your esophagus. So you have nerve endings in your esophagus.
Yeah.
But not in your throat.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, I don't know about you, Song, but I've noticed that when I eat some tuna salad, and it's usually if it's got some kind of celery in it or something, that I can't stop thinking about my childhood. And it might go on for hours where I've just eaten this tuna salad with some celery and I remember that I was running down the hallway at my Aunt Karen's house and I hit my head on the corner of the hallway wall and I split my head open and there was blood everywhere. Because I was small and I had that small baby blood that you get around your head as a child. And my aunt took this Cookie Monster towel and used it to soak up the blood. And I remember seeing Cookie Monster all covered in blood. And then they took me to the hospital to sew up my head. And they put a board on me. They put a board over me so that they could sew it up. That might be a good question for Dr. Pushank. Why do they put a board over you to give you stitches when you're a child? I mean, isn't it already pretty traumatic?
I'm really excited.
Maybe it would be better to do it without the board.
Where did they put
the board? Interesting.
They put it over my whole body, and they just had a hole where they put the stitches.
So what would you think? Why would they do that?
Maybe to keep me from moving?
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't they just sedate me with some kind of tranquilizers?
It's not good for children.
10 cc's of Demerol, please.
All the tranquilizers you get in the supermarket, you have to be, I don't know, 21 years. You know?
Oh, so those aren't. But I bet I would...
Before that, they use a board.
So it's either board or tranquilizer, depending on your age.
Yeah.
Because if you put a board on me now, you would be in trouble. I mean, I would get around that. I would punch a doctor in the face.
That's why they have the age at 21.
So now if I go in there...
So the strong guys don't have to... Or they don't fight back. So they get tranquilizers.
That's interesting. I think that we just lost a listener because of that. Thank you for calling Call with Questions. What is your name and from where are you calling? Hello? Hello? Are you there? What is your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Song again.
Song from Glendale, home of the Glendale Trojans. We're big Trojans fans here. Glendale Trojans. Go Trojans. Yeah.
I have another question.
Sure.
That occurred today.
Yeah.
So I was pulling. So I've been working all day for 2 weeks, and today was the first day that I was actually home.
Right.
And I was pooping, and you know, I realized it was my epiphany. I realized pooping on your own toilet is priceless.
No shit.
Your question is, you know, I obviously can't answer this from a scientific perspective. We'll have to defer to Dr. Pushank.
No, I really want to know, like, how this digestive system is so sensitive, where you are and where you are pooping.
That's a great question. So your digestive system seems to function better, you're saying, when you're at your own toilet. You want to know from a German scientist who comes straight to us from the Institute for Physics Research in the former Soviet Union. You want to ask him, why is it so much easier to take a dump at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question for somebody who has a PhD in physics. And I think we'll just turn that over to Dr. Pushank right now. Doc, why is it better to take a dump at home? You know, you've been working all week, and you're backed up. You know, the pipes are full.
It's in your own four walls. It's like your safe little place. You know, there's no one going to threaten you, and you're just relaxed. And relaxation is very important. There's like this muscle that has to relax, and if your asshole doesn't open, it's very hard.
And that has something to do with physics, because you have gravity pulls the poo out.
Just has a very, very little part.
My dog's name was Hercules, right? So he would be in the woods, and I'd say, Hercules, come here.
Yeah.
And he would come sometimes, sometimes not. Gravity does the same thing with the poo. It actually, in a frequency that we can't hear. Now, you're a scientist. You can explain this. And I don't even know if it's actual language. Gravity has its own way of talking, you know. And it says to the poo, come out into the toilet. And sometimes, just like my dog Hercules, he wouldn't come back. Sometimes the poo doesn't come out.
Because the poo coming out, that is muscle action. That's your own work you have to do.
That doesn't have anything to do...
to squeeze it out, but then gravity takes over.
So you're saying that gravity has attitudes... I've never heard that before. Talk about it.
It doesn't have attitude, no.
It doesn't have different moods?
No.
Not some days where gravity's...
I mean, if you sit beside the toilet and you take a dump, you get all that stuff spread on you. But that's not gravity's fault. When you sit above the hole, right above the hole, gravity always does its duty. It always does its job.
So you're saying that gravity has a responsibility?
Yeah.
And
it does.
Who established gravity's responsibility, and what is it?
And some people are born and they just know what responsibility is. It's part of them.
So you're saying gravity's job is part of it?
Yeah.
Or it has to
gravity
be told?
Gravity is responsible by nature.
So is there ever
a
time... where you feel like you have to tell gravity what to do.
There has been a time when it was created.
And what was that?
You ever heard of the Big Bang?
Yes, I have. But I know nothing about it. I'm not a details person.
Yeah.
I know that it happened sometime after the Easter Bunny moved the rock away from Jesus' tomb and let Jesus out.
Actually, that depends.
I don't think that's funny. I don't think that's funny.
It's very serious, yes.
Yeah.
Because here you get into the phenomena of time. The Big Bang is the beginning of all.
Right.
The beginning of time. The beginning of gravity, of matter, of everything. Or what it did, it caused the Big Bang. Because yet all the matter, everything, the universe, it was put together by gravity, collapsed, it crashed into a singularity. It's like a black hole.
So,
and so what happens then? Before the Big Bang, the gravity actually puts the whole thing together into that singularity. And then you have all the matter, all the energy inside that singularity, and it can't stay there. So it explodes. And that's when the universe is created, when gravity is created. So now, how can you say gravity is created in this instant of time, the Big Bang?
Right.
Starts.
Yeah. How do you know?
When
you
gravity, gravity caused the Big Bang.
Oh, okay.
So
it was there before.
Yeah, it was there. It caused its own birth. So you know how that is possible?
How?
Time went backwards before the Big Bang.
Okay.
The clocks were running backwards.
So that's that's horrifying sounding to me.
So is there really a black hole?
Oh, yeah.
Black holes exist.
Yeah, sure.
I heard that they're trying to make one in Sweden.
You heard the story about, or you asked a question about the toilet, right?
Can we talk about Sweden just for a second?
That's
because you're from over there, right? I mean, sort of.
Yeah,
it's all the same.
Yeah.
It all runs together. You know, it's like when you, if you squeeze.
It's on the same river.
The way that they're born and all that. And upstairs.
Yeah,
you know.
Think
like,
they're crazy.
Well, I wouldn't say crazy, but there's definitely, you know, they're like, oh, here's our, you know, use our cell phones, right? We made this guy who created Linux, right?
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
You know, they think they run the world. All of our. Banking is done over there.
That is
or
incorrect.
Switzerland. I don't know. It doesn't matter because they're right next to each other. But
yeah,
they got those army knives, right? Yeah. Every single utility you could possibly need.
That's Switzerland. Sweden.
They sound very similar. I mean,
sound
say
similar.
Say
they
the
are
first.
Related.
Say the first one.
Switzerland. Sweden.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I get the point.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
shit.
The same.
So, but the guys in Sweden are trying to make a black hole. Right? And I mean, you and I, we kind of laugh about that.
That's France. In France.
Yeah, they're trying to make a black hole there in France.
CERN.
But we laugh
it's
about that
because
we're, you know, we're smart guys. I mean, I don't judge them. I'm open-minded. So these guys in Sweden or France, as you call it, they're making a black hole in a lab.
Yeah.
Well, you're a physicist. How would you go about making a black hole? If your boss comes to you and says, we need to make a black hole, how would you do that?
I wouldn't.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about with the Swiss people. You know? Yeah. Why are they making these black holes?
It seems to be a challenge to them.
Yeah. But you would say, hey, Switzerland, you know, no way.
It's not a challenge.
Right.
You know? And once you get the black hole, it swallows you.
I mean, you don't want to make one.
Yeah.
Because...
You only want to make one if you don't know what it is.
Right.
You don't know what the black hole will do.
Yeah, but you...
It's like a child, you know?
Right.
It's like you give birth to a child, you raise it, and then it kicks your ass.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, why do that? So don't make...
To some people, to have a child seems to be like a challenge.
So you would say it's better to adopt.
Yeah, maybe. And then they kick the child's ass.
Right. You show
the
it.
Other way and wrong.
You show it who's boss.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to win against a black hole.
No.
I mean, we know that.
Yeah. So you definitely don't want a black hole.
Yeah.
But since it's dark there anyways, half the year,
So like, it's like Alaska.
They wouldn't even notice they have a black hole, you know?
Right, right.
Even if they get it.
So, but you see what I'm saying now about how their brains work. The guys that are making the black hole. Maybe you've read more books about physics than I have. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting to know that when you're in the bathroom, that gravity is having a conversation. Call in with whatever question that you might have. This is one of my favorite songs. Actually, I hate the song, but this part of the song is probably one of my favorite parts of any song ever. So I just cut out with the computer. I cut out the parts I didn't want to listen to, and made the song just the part that I liked.
Yeah.
Good. Which I, you know, it's kind of scientific.
You're very decisive. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
listen to the clarinet. Does that squeak? You heard it?
Yeah.